Reading from Galatians 5, verses 1 to 15. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has of any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You are running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offence of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbour as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other.
Desires in the past, by the wonder of Jesus Christ, the desire of that has been taken away. Or for some people, let me just say, I recognise that there are some people who actually continue to struggle with that in their Christian lives because it's been so bound up in that in their world before Christ that it is a constant struggle for them. But they still don't have a desire to go there because the desire to honour God outweighs that burden they have. And the second reason is you are driven by your desire to love the Lord your God. With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and you want to worship him, you want to share in fellowship together, and that way outrides anything that the world has to offer. And see, that's the heart of what Paul is talking about here in Galatians. It's not the fact of when we talk about this idea of the Old Testament law being done away with. It's not so that freedom doesn't necessarily represent everything that the world's got. They're actually bound by something far, far worse than the law. We are free in Christ, and it's this freedom which draws us to God, which is the thing that drives us, the love for God. We're guided and also led by God's Holy Spirit, leading us in paths of righteousness. You see, it all comes down to our motivation. Once we accept Christ, our motivation is to follow him. And the law takes on a different place in our lives. The law just becomes a guide by which we love and serve our God. We're not bound by it, but it becomes our guide. How do we know what we're doing is actually pleasing to God? How do we know if our actions are righteous and honouring to God? Well, we simply look to the law. The law established by God, and it will show us the very things that will put a smile on God's face. If we look to the law and the heart of the Old Testament law, we will know that what we're doing is pleasing to God. And that's really the heart behind chapter 5 and what we are looking at today. Let's keep that in mind as we look at this particular passage. You see, the law established by God really draws us close to God. Let's quickly look at a few of the commandments that were set out by God and how it is different for us today to the way it was in the Old Testament. Let's start with a contentious one. It's always good to start with a contentious one. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Pre-Jesus, that was very stringent requirements, very stringent law to adhere to in regards to that law. There were 39 prohibited activities that you could actually do on the Sabbath, and that's not then talking about how it even applied in people's lives. You weren't allowed on the Sabbath. There was no sewing. Particularly, that's picking on patch workers and craft ladies. No sewing. No ploughing. No reaping. No binding. Once again, getting back to these craft ladies. Gee, they've had to be really careful. No thrashing. No winnowing. No selecting. No grinding. No baking. No baking. No cooking on Sunday. That's not good. No spinning, no weaving, no separating two threads. Definitely no. I hope no one's been separating two threads today. Okay. There's no tying or untying. That's why they had slip-on shoes. Okay. There's no extinguishing a fire, no kindling a fire, no putting a finishing touch on an object, etc. I'm not going to go through all of them. Jesus himself had no desire to do away with these kind of activities. He wanted to honour all of those things. But free in Christ changes the motivation. We're no longer worried about the tin tacks of it all. You see, we're no longer worried about when the sun is going to set on Friday night. We're no worried about as to what that's going to look through onto Saturday night. Our passion is now to set time aside to honour our God, isn't it? We choose to honour God at certain times in our lives. It may be in our personal devotions throughout the week. It may be setting time aside for prayer. It is for us coming here on a Sunday to worship. You see, God was never worried about whether or not this time aside took place on Friday or Saturday or Tuesday or Thursday. That's not the heart of God. The heart of God was that people would take that time. And because the old law before Jesus Christ has been done away with, we now choose to honour God with that time. The actual timing is not the critical thing. There's nothing wrong with people or organisations that want to still honour the old Sabbath time frame. That is fine, as long as the motivation is a motivation to love God and not a motivation just to obey the law. Understand the difference? That's the critical part in this whole passage. There isn't something mystical about the day. As Jesus showed, he allowed water to be drawn from wells, and he certainly performed miracles. But setting time aside, choosing to allow time in our schedule to be dedicated to God and doing the things that please him and honour him is what he desires. Used to be you couldn't carry a tablespoon of anything, of sugar or flour. That was work and you couldn't do that. But you could carry a teaspoon, that was all right, but not a tablespoon. That's how the law got divided up. How about the other one? How about honouring your father and mother? A lot of people are really pleased that we're not bound by that law anymore. You know, the idea, why would you honour my father and mother? They were rat bags. They were terrible. Actually, my parents weren't. My parents were great. But there's this sense in which God had something far more significant in line as he made that commandment. He wanted the family unit to be a tight unit. He wanted there to be respect in families. And if we don't value our parents, then why would we have any expectation that the generation that come after us, why would we expect them to respect us if we don't show that respect to our parents? You see, God was wanting to honour the family unit. That's his heart. And we need to understand his heart. And so as we obey the heart of that law, we honour God and put a smile on his face. So the question somebody asked me only recently, and it's a question that I've been asked a few times. So does that mean that the Old Testament law has no value to us? It's quite the opposite. It actually holds greater value to us today than it has ever held before, because it shows us what pleases God, and that should be the thing that we want to do. So remembering the law and reusing it as our guide and the principles for the way in which we serve God, that, like I say, is the heritage, the background of chapter 5. And in verses 1 to 6 of chapter 5, Paul is outlining again, as he has done already in the first four chapters, chapters 1, 2, 3 and 4, as he has done, once again he says to himself, I want you to understand that you are no longer slaves to the law. The law itself doesn't get you any closer to God. Living by the law is not what it's all about. It isn't in Christ. It's about freedom in Christ. It is for freedom that Christ came and set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened by a yoke of slavery. That's slavery to the law. That's a wrong motivation. Verse 2, mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. So does that mean circumcision is wrong? And for all you parents who had their little boys circumcised, you need to go and confess your sins and repent of the terrible sin that you've committed? Of course not. That's not what Paul's talking about. That would be a new law if all of a sudden we established that. What Paul is saying is, if you're going out to take some action that somehow you think will make you more saved, more a Christian, more righteous, and I just want to say, and Paul just wants to say, you are just wasting your time. Wasting your time, because you'll actually be doing more damage than good if you are somehow trying to prove your salvation. Because really what you're doing is discrediting the work that Christ has done. I really like verse 3. Verse 3, if you see it there. Again, I declare to every man who has let himself be circumcised that he is required to obey the whole law. So basically what Paul is saying, all right then, all right, you can choose. I'm going to let you choose. You can either choose to obey all of the law, every single one of them. You know those 39 things just associated with the Sabbath. You have to obey all of those and all of the other sub-laws that go with all the other commandments, or you can have freedom in Christ. But don't go part way. Don't think, okay, I want to take this law and I want this law and I want this one over here, but I'll disregard the others because I'm free in Christ. No. You can't have it both ways. You either want all the law or you want Christ. You just pick which you want. And I think Paul was very clever in the way in which he said that, but that's the truth. We can't hand pick which laws we want to adhere to. It's either all the law or it's freedom in Christ. And I think that's why, once again, Paul just says, oh, you silly Galatians. Silly Galatians, why on earth are you looking at the law when you could look to Christ? Verse 4, you who are trying to justify by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen from grace. Now, lots of people have attempted to read far more into what Paul is saying here than what he has ever intended. He's not indicating that Christ will discard anyone who chooses to live by the law. That's not what Paul's saying. He's just simply saying what you are trying to do makes no sense. Let me use as an example. Here in Morisset, it's opening night of a new restaurant. Brand new fancy restaurant. And what the restaurateur has decided is that all patrons will receive their meal for free on the opening evening. And after you've enjoyed your rump steak, cooked medium well done, not sure how you like your steak, and it's got pepper gravy over, and there's these, you know, vegetables on the side, and then you've had your dessert of chocolate cake or keto friendly dessert, whatever that is, for all those people who are doing keto. Anyway, it's been a beautiful meal. At which point you've finished and you call the waiter over and you say, can I have the bill please? And the waiter says, no, you don't understand. It's opening night. It's free. You just get to have enjoyed the meal. And all of a sudden you get upset. No, I don't want it for free. I have to pay. And so when the waiter walks away, you make sure you leave $50 on the table to make sure you pay. You go, how silly is that? Why on earth would you do that? Why would you pay for a meal that is free? You have, the moment you've put that money on the table, the meal is no longer a free meal. And so what Paul is simply saying to the Galatians is, what on earth are you doing? As soon as you choose to obey certain laws like circumcision, it's like putting money on the table. No longer is it free. And it was never intended to come at a cost. It was always meant to be free in Christ. What on earth are you doing? You don't need to pay for your salvation by obeying the law. Law won't get you more salvation. If you're trying to pay through the law, then you're automatically alienating the Christ-free gift which has been given to you. Your actions actually separate you from Christ rather than draw you closer. Trying to be justified by law, you have been alienated from Christ. No grace if you live by the law. That's pretty obvious. Then verse 6 restates Paul's key point. The truth of all of the Galatians, the truth that has been said over and over again, the truth of our salvation, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Now, we've been at this for, I think, 12 or 13 weeks in this series. I hope you've got that message by now. Hopefully you've got it, you know, that this is just a free gift of Christ and we don't have to work at it to get more salvation. For Paul, the great frustration was they started so well. And how could they have got it wrong so quickly? Paul says in verse 7, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you, kept you from obeying the truth? It didn't come from Jesus or his Holy Spirit's leading, did it? I think a great thing for us to do is to regularly give consideration as to why we do what we do, particularly in our Christian lives. We need to reflect on our motivation. Do we do what we do because we're worried about what others might think? Are we worried that if we don't do the things we've been doing, that they will think somehow we've sunk in degradation? Do we do what we do so that we will look good in front of others? Is the motivation that we do things is so that somehow people will think more highly of us? If these are our motivations, then we can quickly lose our joy. We can quickly forget the grace that is ours, and we can forget who we serve. Those motivations can pull us away from our first love. So I think the question needs to be asked, why did the Jewish Christians revert back to the law, or certainly some of the laws? Certainly it was what they felt comfortable with. It's what they knew, and it made them feel more righteous. But I think it also, in their mind, gave them others a standard by which they could live by as well. I think verse 13 really gives a good indication of actually what was happening in the church and why they reverted back to the law. It says in verse 13, you, my brothers, were called to be free. That's true. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. People were abusing the grace. There was never a word spoken that just because you are free in Christ, now you can go do whatever you like. That makes no sense at all. You can do things that dishonor God. You can do things that discredit Jesus Christ. Of course, that makes no sense at all. And that was never the intent of it. These Christians were deliberately breaking the law too. And for many of them, I think it was just to annoy the other Christians. They deliberately went out and did whatever they liked because they knew that those Jewish Christians, they would hate it. And of course, there's just something a little wrong in that motivation. Doing things that don't honour God and things that others wouldn't approve of is just wrong. And that's not what freedom is all about, is it? We should not use our freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, we need to serve one another in love. In verse 14, the entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbour as yourself. What Paul is saying is this, true freedom shouldn't be used to propel us back into sinful nature. Because that's not freedom. Sinful nature is another burden completely, isn't it? That's not freedom. I read a quote, and I wish I could remember whose quote it was, but it's a good one. Freedom isn't a privilege to do whatever we want, but the privilege to do what God wants. I'll say it again. Freedom isn't a privilege to do whatever we want, but the privilege to do what God wants. And what God wants for us is to love him, and he wants us to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, and indeed all others. It means we don't break God's law, because inevitably if we're breaking God's law, it hurts others. It hurts us and it hurts others. We know that's the case, don't we? If we steal, that will hurt others. If we covet, it hurts others. Gossip, others get hurt. Murder, they get hurt a lot. We've got to be careful that God's law doesn't automatically just think that it doesn't matter anymore. It actually becomes something that we use as our guide. Love God because you choose to. Love your neighbour as yourself because that's what you want to do. If you want to know how to do that, then read God's law, not to be bound by it, not to be burdened by it, but as a guide by which you can love the Lord your God with all your heart. So what is your motivation? Is your motivation just to get into good habits? Is your motivation just to look good to others? Is your motivation just to enjoy the company of others? Maybe your motivation is you just can't handle breaking the law. Freedom isn't a privilege for us just to wholeheartedly go out and break God's law. The privilege we have is to obey and do what God wants. We need to make sure that our motivations are right. Just about everything we do in the life, in our individual lives and in the life of the church, comes down to motivation. In part, I wasn't going to use this illustration because I thought, you know, I don't want to distract from what we're talking about today, but I think it's a good illustration. I've often had conversations about the music that we have in church. You know, there's some people that would stand strongly. We have to make sure that every word that we sing is theologically sound. It's inappropriate to ever sing a song that maybe doesn't find its heart in the very word of God. And I've often thought to myself, I wonder which God prefers. Does God prefer a dirgy song that everyone's standing there looking, you know, half beaten, looking like they're half awake, but theologically sound? Or does God prefer us to maybe singing a song or songs that maybe aren't absolutely right, but we sing from the depths of our being because we just want to sing it to our Lord because we love him from all that we are? Motivation is what needs to drive us in all that we do in church, in all that we do in our lives. And that motivation can't be the law. That motivation can't be rules. That motivation needs to be our love of our God who first loved us. Let's pray together. Father, as we continue to travel through Galatians, there is this central theme that just keeps coming through, that you don't want us to be bound by the law. You don't want us to focus on a set of principles. You just want us to love you. And Father, that's what we desire to do. We desire to love you with all that we are. And Father, if the law that you established helps us to understand what really makes you happy, then Father, we're happy to adhere to that law, not because we want to be bound by the law, but because we want to give you the very best we can. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.